Thank you, Maureen, for sharing that with us. Crown him many crowns. Today, we're glad to have you with us, and we're going to be talking about the ministry of angels. What do they do anyway? Well, let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity of using this streaming ministry to reach into the homes of our people. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to watch over our country, give our president and those who are advising him wisdom and choices that they're making that have an impact on our lives, clear out here in Wisconsin, and for our own governor and those that he's getting direction from, that they be looking to you for the help that they need. And Lord, we pray that you guide us as we look at your word today and we learn a bit more about angels and see how you use them and how they seek to worship you and serve you, and that we might follow their example. Well, thank you for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about the ministry of angels. Now, when men are introduced, and I guess I haven't paid that much attention to how the ladies operate, but often the fellows ask, well, where do you work? And what is it that you do? Where do you live? And for the men, it seems as if our work is part of who we are. And if we want to get to know one another better, it helps if we know, what kind of work are you in? Well, if we want to get to know the angels better, we want to know what they're doing. And we've touched on some of these areas previously, so some of it we'll hear again. But we see that their ministries, their work is varied. They minister both in heaven and in earth. And for the most part, it's beyond our ability to see what they're doing. Now, from time to time, they take on a visible form, but a lot of what they do is kind of behind the scenes, or at least invisible. And we don't want to go on just what the TV provides for us, or the movies, Touched by an Angel, or what other program that might be out there. We want to look at, what does Scripture have to say about angels? And if you have one of the outlines, it might be good to follow along. If you're listening and not receiving those, from only our church family is getting at this point, if you email me, we'll be glad to send you one. And that email address is the letter J, and then Wooden, Wooden, the number 3, at Juno, Juno.com. And we'll send you an outline. Well, we look here, first of all, is their ministry to God, what they do, how they seek to serve God. And we see here that they're ministers of worship. One of their primary ministries is to worship and praise God. We see this in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. It says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so here we see the seraphims hovering on either side of the Father, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." We see much the same thing as we look to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, we see 4 angelic creatures around the throne. And we read here, "And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." And so we see here the angels ascribing holiness to God, his worthiness, his omnipotence. He's all powerful. He's the sovereign creator of this world, this universe. And the angels, someone pointed out to me here a while back, it doesn't say the angels say, sing, which we tend to use, but that they say. And personally, I guess I'm thinking they're doing some singing too. And I'd try that, but I don't want you to turn off the computer. So, but they're singing, just like we sing, holy, holy, holy. We're singing it. And I'm thinking they're probably doing the same. But in any case, we see that they're proclaiming what God is doing. And he's infinitely worthy and deserves the worship. And we ought to be following their example, praising God on a regular basis. We see here they're also ministers of service. And their worship leads them to serve the Lord in many different ways. It talks about priestly service there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers of a flame of fire." And this minister has the idea of priestly service. Usually you think minister is just serving, but here it's a priestly type of service. Now, it doesn't mean that they're representing men before God, or that we are to pray to angels or honor them in that way. In fact, it's forbidden. We see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." We're not to worship angels. They're there to serve the Lord, even as we are. They're in a different capacity, but nevertheless serving the Lord. We see John, the Apostle John, there in Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 and 9, he says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not." And he's saying, John, don't do that. "For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep these sayings of this book." Worship God. And so they're not to be worshipped. They're there, ready, willing, and able to do what God asks of them. And that ought to be the same kind of description that God could give for us. And we see that their service, some of it they do in God's presence. They're personal messengers of the Lord. And both, we see this in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. They seek to carry out God's orders. They're listening. They're responding. They're tuned in. They don't have selective hearing like sometimes we do. We kind of only hear what we want to hear. The psalmist says in Psalm 103:20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." And so some angels are standing in the presence of the Lord, listening for their marching orders, listening to be a messenger, to go to men. And we see angels doing that very thing. We see Gabriel was a messenger to Zechariah. And also angels went to speak to Joseph and to Mary. The angels came to as messengers to the shepherds to tell them about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a multitude of angels, it says. And they're also agents of God's government. The angels carry out the various aspects of God's government. He's the sovereign, the ruler of the universe, controlling all things. And he directs things. And the angels help do some of the footwork for that. The psalmist says there in Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." And so as they help with God's government, we see that they're involved in a lot of different things. One of those is involved in controlling nature. In Revelation 7:1, it talks about them controlling the winds. Also controlling the seas in Revelation 16. In the time of the tribulation there in Romans 16, it talks about them, the heat of the sun. They're involved in that. They also control nations. And they operate behind the scenes. They're exercising their influence. And they're engaged in battle over nations with evil angels. We see that in Daniel chapter 10. Also in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, it says, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and that's Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, you think of this. God has angels, in a sense, signed to different nations. There's an angel that's keeping an eye on Iran and Israel and the United States and Russia and China. Maybe he's got one for Wisconsin, too. I don't know about that. But he knows exactly what's going on, and they're overseeing them. We see here they're also protectors of God's people. Angels minister to God by protecting his people. They seek to glorify his name. They're at work on our enemies, even though we can't see it. We see examples of how they protected King David. The psalmist says there in Psalm 35, verse 4 and 5, he says, "Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them." How'd you like to be chased by the angel of the Lord? Well, he can put the enemies on the run. And so they deliver us from the wicked, the evil works of those who would seek to do us harm. Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So the angels can surround us and protect us. I've heard people pray, set a hedge of protection around about us. Isaiah says in 63:9, "In their all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and in his pity he redeemed them and bare them and carried them all the days of old." And so as they continue to care for God's own, we see this in Hebrews 1:14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Well, we're the heirs of salvation. The believers, they minister to and for us. We can't see most of it, but it's happening nevertheless. We see here they also, as they are ministering for God and his government, they execute his judgments. We see they were involved in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah there in Genesis 19. Many believe that the angels were involved in the plagues of Egypt when the Pharaoh didn't want to let the people of Israel leave. They also were used to chastise God's own people for David when he was disobedient to the Lord and for Israel. And future judgments during the tribulation are carried out by angels. We see angels involved in the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, and Michael and his angels executing judgment on Satan and his angels. And so they are indeed at work for our Heavenly Father. We'll see they also minister to Christ. And we've touched on some of these, but at his birth, they were the ones there that predicted his birth. Gabriel came to Mary. Angel came to Joseph to tell them what was going to happen and why, and that it was okay for them to be married. The announcement of his birth was made to the shepherds by the angels. In Christ's earthly life, they protected Christ when he was an infant. Remember, Herod wanted to have all the babies killed, and they were directed by an angel to flee to Egypt and to stay there until Herod died, and then they were told when they could return back to Israel. They were there to strengthen Christ after his 40 days in the wilderness when he was tempted by Satan there in Matthew 4. Matthew 4:11 says, "And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." We see in the same way that they were strengthening him there in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to the crucifixion. Luke 22:43 says, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, there were angels ready to respond to his call if he had called out to them. They're ready to defend Christ. He said that he could have called 12 legions of angels. A legion, as I understand, is 6,000 angels. So he could have called up 72,000 angels in the snap of his finger, and they'd have been there. Matthew 26:53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Okay, so they're there to help Christ in any of his work as well. After Christ's resurrection, we see he was the one who announced, the angels announced that he had risen. He's not here. There were ones that rolled away the stone so the women could come and look in, and also for Peter and John. They told of his resurrection. They angels were subject to Christ, as we see there in 1 Peter 3, verse 22. It says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Now, the angels, the word tells us that they desire to know more about our salvation. We are able to be forgiven of our sins and become one of God's children and know that we're going to spend eternity with him. There's not that kind of forgiveness available to the angels that fell, that chose to sin and follow Satan. And they'd like to understand our salvation. We see here that they continue to minister to Christ. There in Revelation 5, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and a number of them," notice the number, "was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." We read elsewhere, it's an innumerable multitude of angels, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb." I think we're going to be singing that when we get to heaven. They minister also to him in his, as he takes upon his rule and reign there, as he sets up his kingdom after the tribulation here upon this earth for 1,000 years. They will come with him. They predicted his return when he was taken up to heaven after the resurrection and his time with the disciples. They said he's coming back in the same way. It says he's going to accompany Christ as he returns. There in Matthew 25:31, it says all his holy angels will return with him. Won't that be quite a sight? And they will worship him at his return, Hebrews 1:6 tells us. And we see here that they gather groups of men at his return, kings and the elect, the scriptures tell us. Well, we see here also that angels operate in relation to different eras, different time periods, different great events. They were there at creation whether they're singing or saying, they were there. They're shouting for joy, as Job 38:4-7 tell us. They were there at the giving of the law. They were at the events of Christ's birth, resurrection, ascension, his return, and setting up his kingdom. And then there's the angels in relationship to believers, to us, to those who've placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. They minister to the ones that God loves and demonstrates that love. We see there in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, He says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And so an angel's speaking there to Daniel. He was one that was beloved. Hebrews 1:14 again says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And again, believers are the heirs of salvation. They're ministering to us. They reveal things to us. God uses them to communicate his word and his will to men, to women. At the law, giving of the law, he says in Acts 7, excuse me, verse 52 and 53 says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of the angels and have not kept it? So the angels were involved in giving out the law. Again, they revealed truth. They were a messenger. An angel came to Zechariah to tell him about his son's birth, John the Baptist, of the virgin birth of to Mary and to Joseph, to the shepherds. And much of the books of Daniel and Revelation came through angels and how they spoke to Daniel and to John. Gabriel was the one who spoke about the 70 years of Daniel. There in Daniel chapter 10 on through chapter 12, we, as well as in the greater part of Revelation, are given by angels. They're used to guide us and to direct men. Joseph was told to take Mary as his wife, and then also to protect his own son and to go to Egypt to get away from Herod. The women were guided as they came to the empty tomb. They were instructed by an angel. Philip was directed to the Ethiopian eunuch to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ and to baptize him. There in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, rise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So he gave him directions. And they directed Cornelius to send for Peter. And so there we have a Gentile looking to Peter, and we'll see how that works out. He provides. They're used in providing for people. They provided water for Hagar and her son to keep him alive. They provided manna for Israel there in the wilderness. It talks about being angels' food. Elijah was fed, as he fled rather, from Jezebel. And he was just completely wore out. And he laid down hoping he could die. And the angels was sent to feed him. They fed Christ after his temptation. And the thing is, God has promised that he's going to provide for us. And if it takes angels to make it happen, then that's what he's going to use. He protects us. He protects God's people from danger. We see there that Israel's king, they had sent an army to capture Elisha. And his servant looked out, saw these soldiers. He's fearful. And Elisha says to him, and I really like this passage in 2 Kings 6, 15 to 17. And he says, and when the servant of man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? You know, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So Elisha prays, God opens up this young fellow's eyes so that he can see the angels, the army of God that's there to protect them. And folks, we can't see a lot of what's going on, but they're out there, they're protecting us. We see the very same thing happens there in Scripture as Daniel was protected by the angels shutting the mouth of the lions. The Hebrews, three Hebrews protected there in the fire. And so God is able to protect us no matter what kind of situation we can find ourselves in. He delivers us supernaturally. We see in Scripture that the 144,000 Israelites are going to be protected during the tribulation time as they go about the world witnessing for Christ. He delivers the apostles from prison. They were told, you know, don't preach anymore about Jesus, and stuck them in prison overnight. Next thing you know, they're out on the street doing it all over again. Peter was delivered from prison. And we see that they strengthen us. They encourage us. They are his messengers. Again, as the apostles were released from prison, they were encouraged to preach. Paul is preserved from death when he's out there bobbing around out in the sea after the ship was torn apart. And God's watch over and protects us. They're agents of prayer as well. Several times we know of it there in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel 10. We see the church there in Acts chapter 12 praying for Peter, who was arrested and put into prison. And it happened so quickly that when he's released and shows up on their doorstep, they can't hardly believe that it's him. They minister to believers that have died. It tells us how they carried Lazarus' spirit to Abraham's bosom upon his death there in Luke 16. Moses' body was cared for by the archangel Michael there in Jude 8. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. The angels, it seems, are those who carry our soul and spirit to be with the Lord. And so as we kind of pull all this together, we see here angels are ministers of God and to Christ and to believers. They have a variety of different ministries. They are God's servant. They're there to accomplish God's purposes. They're a tremendous blessing to believers. And though most of it we don't even know about, we can't see it. And yet we need to see that God has his bases covered. He's caring for us. He's protecting us both from the inside and the out. Example of that is that we see here in Scripture today, the angels were protected by the angels, primarily externally and physically, whereas he has the ministry of the Holy Spirit to protect us and care for us internally and spiritually. The angels are for us, and the Holy Spirit is in us. And they guard our bodies. They guard our pathways. The Holy Spirit guides our spirit to help us to make right choices. And so these angels, again, can be agents of prayer. But the Holy Spirit's the one who prompts us to pray and for what to pray for. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love, and he's made ample provisions to care for us through this life as well as throughout eternity. And the angels are all a part of that caring network that God has set up. Let me share this illustration in closing of how God can use his angels to protect us. It says, I read of a Norwegian missionary, Marie Monson, who served in China during the 1950s. She testified to the intervention of angels when Christians were in danger. They had taken refuge in the mission compound only to be surrounded by looting soldiers, and they were astonished to find that after a while they left in peace and they were not bothered. A few days later, the hostile men explained that while they were ready to break down the walls on that flimsy mission, they noticed tall soldiers with shining faces high on a roof in the compound. and that's what caused them to be fearful and turn away. Marie Monson wrote, "The heathen saw them. It was a testimony to them, but they were invisible to us." There's a lot of things going on that we don't even see, that we don't even know about. And God's watching over us and protecting us day and night. And I don't know, maybe when we get to heaven, God's going to show us a video or whatever he's got to show us some of the times that he's used his angels to watch over and to protect us, see how they're cared for us. Again, we're not to worship the angels, but we believe that we can thank God for them. And in some ways, we can be like them. Again, they're ready, willing, and able to respond to God and to his word. And we ought to be willing to do the same. And there's complete dedication on their part. They're not holding out the Lord in any way. The question is, can that be said of us? In light of all that God's done for us and what we've just seen here today, his angels, we see what we need to do ourselves, to dedicate ourselves afresh and anew, and that we need to be ready to respond to the Lord's call on our life at a moment's notice. Well, I want to thank you for being with us here this week. Lord willing, if we're still kind of shut up next week, we'll be looking at Palm Sunday and also the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we hope that you'll be with us. Meantime, we have a Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7, and we trust that you'll join us for that Bible study as well. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, caring for us, and giving us a glimpse through your word as to how you use angels as you continue to care for us and watch over us. We thank you for their guidance and their protection and the way that you provide for us in so many different ways. We pray that we might be eternally grateful and that we, as the angels, might seek to worship you and praise you for all that you do for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.